science.
There's been some pretty significant breakthroughs in science this week. It's time we put them, of course, through the research field to check just how significant they are. Dr. Rod Lamberts is the Deputy Director of the Australian National Centre for the Public Awareness of Science. Welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
Good. There's new research out on diabetes. Does marriage increase the risk of developing the condition?
Isn't that a great headline?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Look, there's some connections. A bunch of Scandinavians used some UK data to see if there was some connection between basically if one spouse was particularly larger or more prone to diabetes, was there some connection that suggested the other one did? And it seems that there was. So what they say is, look, you'd expect people who are married or living together to kind of have some similar habits. And it's not unusual for people who are with each other to be quite similar in terms of body weight, et cetera. But they thought, let's just test if there's any link here. And so it turns out that you can predict a person's risk of developing type 2 diabetes based on their partner's BMI. Your weight in kilos over your height in centimetres squared. I think a lot of people have heard of this. So that's kind of interesting to begin with. However, there are sex differences. So it's not that straightforward. It seems to happen when you control or adjust for a person's sort of starting weight and their tendency to become diabetic or risk factors for it. This happens that a woman's BMI can affect or be related to a man's BMI going up in their diabetes risk, but not the other way around.
Why not?
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah. Seems obvious.
Yeah, I know. It is a good question. But the main theory they've come up with is, look, it's fairly common still in many parts of the world that the woman is more likely to be in charge of the household diet or at least direct the cooking and the eating. This is what they speculate. And so if they are more prone to these kinds of behaviours that lead you to being more obese, for example, then the male in the relationship is likely to follow suit. So that's their theory, but they have not tested that.
Okay, so you think we should be very cautious about this then?
Well, I think it's the thing I think to take away from this is don't just assume the risk factors for diabetes, et cetera, are about the individual. It could be more about their environment, so their domestic situation, et cetera. So paying attention to a bit more context, I suppose, is the takeaway I'd get from this.
Okay. Be careful. Yeah. Look at the context. Okay, so there's evidence on why some brains really are smarter. Take us through the study.
Well, it's less about which is smarter and more about in the brains that are smarter, that there's this counterintuitive fact they've discovered that it's not about the big brain, but in fact, the more intelligent people tend to have fewer connections between the neurons in their brain, particularly the higher area, the cerebral cortex. So this was unexpected because as a rule, the received wisdom was, intelligent people have big brains. But it turns out, in fact, after doing brain imaging of people's, the connections, what they call dendrites, which are basically communication cells between neurons, it turns out that the people who do better on IQ tests also had less of these connections. So you wouldn't expect that. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I didn't expect that.
No, I didn't expect that. So does it debunk the theory that brain size matters?
Look, I'd like to say it does. I mean, the suggestion, it seems to me, is you'd almost call it like a think fitness, It's like a leaner brain is a more efficient brain is kind of what they're suggesting. But again, I think we need to find out a little bit more. Does a lean brain, does a brain become leaner as it thinks better? Or is it a lean brain that makes you think faster, smarter, higher IQ, et cetera? There's a few more things to tease out here, but it's certainly interesting.
It is. So what does it mean for the bigger debate over the definition of intelligence and making some...
Yeah.
Conclusions around that?
Look, I'd say it adds yet another confusing element. There's so much battling over what intelligent is and how you measure it and what's more relevant than other things. And so this, I think, just makes it deliciously more confusing now.
Oh, really?
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. So I've got two pieces of research that have just made me a little more confused now.
This is what we're here for, Patricia. This is the whole plan of science, to make you even more confused and need us even more.
I know. I feel very needy for my scientists. All right. Scientists, let's go to this third item, which is also really interesting. Scientists have stopped the growth of mesothelioma in model animals. That's the cancer most commonly caused by exposure to asbestos. In fact, we were covering asbestos last night, worth podcasting that story about, the rise in rates. How do they do it?
This one is really very interesting and kind of exciting, I think, for this area of research and illness. So there's a particular enzyme that accelerates the progression of mesothelioma, and it's very clearly related to making it worse. So what these researchers first discovered was if you have more of that enzyme and you have mesothelioma, you're more likely to have a worse outcome and your life expectancy is shorter. So that connection was established, which is good to know. But now what they discovered is if you block the actions of this particular enzyme, then there's a improvement in the results of how people react and the program, well, not people, mice, react to mesothelioma and the ability to do something about it. So this enzyme is very effective. You know, it attracts blood vessels to the cancer cells. It releases growth proteins that helps these things grow. So it gets in this horrible vicious cycle, as they call it. But with this blocker in place, it seems to shut that down, or at least back it off quite a bit. So this is extremely exciting, I think.
Okay, and this gives hope to patients around the world. Will they be conducting a clinical trial?
That's the theory. They're saying soon they're going to give it a go, which is, as I say, I think this is really good, and I have a lot of hope for this one. I'm going to follow this one.
This is so. I haven't heard you this enthusiastic about anything. You reckon this is really this is actually something that is on the cusp of working?
The mechanisms seem, in a sense, so straightforward from what I read. So that's what kind of makes me go, this is a good one, because it's maybe it's deceptively simple, but it also seems so logical, if you see what I mean. So
yeah, I do.
I got a bit of hope for that one.
Okay. Hey, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Dr. Rod Lamberts is the Deputy Director of the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science. This is RN Drive. Stick with us, because after the ABC News, we're actually going to do a bit more science. We're going to talk about leukaemia and a new study out on leukaemia and cleanliness and germs. Stick with us. It's news time at 7.